Or to, I talk to quite regularly. We take walks here at lunch, and that's good because he's a Christian. It's, we talk to God sometimes about God's plan for our lives, the weaving of how he brings things into our lives. And this week, actually this morning, I read Isaiah 49, and which is really how God prepared Isaiah to talk to the Israelites from the time of his birth, and how he was prepared for that, formed for that purpose. And then also, in my reading this morning, Revelation 19 talks about how the bride is prepared for the wedding to the Lamb, and that that we, the saints, are woven into the linen of the bride's garment. So it seems just tied together.
That's a great thought. That's a great thought. Thank you. It's a really good thought. There's a union between the believer and God, right? There's a union there. There's not just a fellowship. There's not just a marriage. There's a union. I think when believers learn to walk in their union with God is when they actually experience what it means to be a Christian. There's a lot of Christians that are not Christians. They are born again, but they don't have the richness of God's life. For example, they try to serve, but they serve from an empty cup. And they are not Christians. Although they are Christians, they are not Christians. They don't have that which is the essence of being a Christian. They don't have the fullness of God's life overflowing. Not just here and there a little bit, but the fullness of God's life. Life and life that is more abundant. They don't have this. And it is because they are not Christians, although they are Christians. Do you understand what I mean? They have the position without the experience. If I don't have the experience, then thank God I'm saved. But on a practical, everyday kind of a level, it isn't doing me a whole lot of good. But thank God I'm saved. Because certainly my eternity is secured, and that's extremely important. But what is it to be a Christian if you don't have the experience? And so people try to work up the experience and they don't have anything. All they have is an emotional endeavor to where somehow they feel like a Christian. And usually that kind of goes into some kind of a work thing, some kind of a striving thing. Maybe they'll get really heavily involved in their church, or maybe they'll try to be nice and sweet when they're really not there. You know, and you get these sappy types. And they often talk in very breathy voices, and because it has to feel Christian so that they can have the experience of what it means to be a Christian. None of those things are what it means. That's nonsense. That's silliness. It's a game. When children are little, they play games, right? When I was a child, I thought as a child. But now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. Now the bad thing is when a believer stays a child. I was a child and I am a child still. And I'll be a child in a year, I'll be a child in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, I'll still be a child. Because I do not put away childish things. This is how we become mature, is we put away childish things. We take on the Word of God. We wear it like a cloak. We put it on. It's the new man. And we wear him like a cloak, a coat. And we take off the old coat and we put on a new coat. And it is not striving. It is not pretense. It is a life. And we take on God's life. And as the Word of God does something in me, I learn to relax and receive and believe. And this is where a lot of believers get in trouble. They expect a feeling. And they say, why isn't this feeling here? Or they expect a change that they can see, and they say, why isn't this change here? Am I really a Christian? What's wrong with me? Well, nothing's wrong with you. See, when a seed falls into the ground, it doesn't abide alone. It bears much fruit. But it doesn't bear much fruit immediately. You're a farmer. You know what it's like. You put a seed into the ground and it takes a while. And you can't expect to reap what that seed is going to produce until the seed has matured. And we are like that too. We go into the ground. The seed falls into the ground and dies. But it does not abide alone. It will bear much fruit. But before it can bear much fruit, there is much growth necessary. It's not that the seed has done anything wrong. The seed is doing that which the seed is supposed to do. It's just a young seed, that's all. It's a young plant. And because it's young, it doesn't have the fruit that it will have. But it is working its way towards that fruit. It is growing, and something is being produced in it. And where does it come from? It doesn't come from within. Only the instructions come from within. The DNA directing the growth and the processes. But that which it receives does not come from within. Only the instructions are from within. The Holy Spirit within directs the young believer. And that young believer starts to grow, and he starts to receive. And that which he receives is not from within, it's from without. And he receives and he receives, just like the little seed. And it takes things out of the soil, and it gets its nutrients and its water and its sunlight, and it goes and it grows. And it sometimes takes years before you have a healthy, strong tree. But when it is a healthy, strong tree, a few things happen. It has a lot of fruit. But it also has a lot of life. It lasts a long time. I mean, there's trees. I heard of somebody who saw a tree. I forgot where it was. It was a 2,000-year-old tree. That was a good tree. It's a strong tree. And the roots are deep. Now, the roots have to go deep before any fruit can be produced. Because without a deep root, there is no good fruit. Because there is no good receiving of the nutrients and the things that are necessary to produce that fruit. A great deal is necessary for fruit to be produced. Can you imagine a little teeny sapling? Okay, where's my fruit? It gets all bent out of shape because it has no fruit. It's like this big, maybe 3 inches big. Coming right out of the ground. Where's my fruit? You put fruit on that sapling, you're going to break it. No, that doesn't mean it's not healthy. That means it's growing. I can't see this little sapling. What's wrong with me? I'm not bearing any apples. The apple's bigger than the sapling. What's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing at all is wrong with you. You're just impatient. Right? After you've done the will of God, you have need of patience so that you may receive the promise. You need patience. Why? Because a little sapling can't hold the fruit that it's going to possess. It would kill it. What I need is to grow. And then after the proper growth has taken place, the fruit will come on its own. The little sapling doesn't say, okay, now's the time, push, and here comes the fruit. Okay, that's not how it works. Okay, the fruit just comes. In the right season, the fruit just comes. All the sapling does is receive. And it becomes a tree and it keeps receiving. And becomes a bigger tree and it keeps receiving. And as it keeps receiving, it starts producing fruit because it has grown to the level of maturity that is necessary for fruit to be manifested. If it was never a sapling, it would never be a tree. It would be a dead seed. But a lot of believers say to themselves, I am a sapling, I am not a tree. Young believers have this problem. People who have been, you know, be walking with God or saved or whatever, receiving whatever, the practical manifestation of salvation for only a few years. And they say to themselves, why don't I have fruit? There's something wrong with me. Well, nothing at all is wrong with you. You're growing. What's wrong with you? Nothing. What's wrong with you is actually there is one thing wrong. You're impatient. Let the work of God be the work of God. Right? God brings all things in His time. Let the work of God be the work of God. Don't be anxious. Relax. Don't be anxious. You keep receiving and the fruit will come. And when the fruit comes, it'll be abundant because you've received abundantly. What happens when a plant grows too fast? You see this sometimes. In a church like ours, this is possible. At home base, sometimes you can see this. People will grow very fast. And outwardly, they look very good. But the roots aren't strong, and they're not deep. And so they start to produce what looks like fruit. Maybe it's fruit, maybe it's works. Not our place to judge. But it looks like fruit. And they start pouring out, but they don't have really the capacity to do so. Because the growth hasn't taken place. And once in a while, you'll get a believer like this, and they're not strong. Right? The tree grew too fast. It's a weak tree. It has no solid structure, no solid substance within. It just looks good. But as soon as the trial comes, the roots aren't there. If a drought comes, dries up and dies. If a strong wind comes, it blows over and breaks. And it's no good. I'm much better off taking my time. Because it's not really me doing it anyway. And it's not my time I'm taking. But the truth of the matter is, I'm much better off waiting for God's time. I know people like that. I went to Bible college with them. Some of them became pastors. And then they left their calling. At least what they said was their calling anyway. I'm believing that it was. And they left their calling because they didn't take the time to grow. They got out of Bible college and right on into a pastorate somewhere just because they had a gift. And they did have a gift. What they didn't have is the timing. And because they had a gift and a little bit of natural personality, a little bit of natural charisma, people came to them. And their messages weren't bad. They were out of the Bible. But there was no strength of a root. There was no solid substance in the trunk of the tree. And the fruit that they possessed, the fruit went away. I know one guy like that. He didn't have a deep enough root. He didn't give himself time. Now he doesn't even believe in God. But he looked fruitful. And he did have fruit. He just didn't have substance. Paul got called. He was on the road to Damascus. And he got a call. And he preached a little while. And then he disappeared. He went for 3 years into the wilderness where he was taught by Christ. And then he disappeared again. He was in Antioch for 11 years. And nobody heard from him. This is the apostle. And finally Barnabas went over to get him because it was time. Some people believe that Paul was backslidden at the time. I don't know. But backslidden or not, he took his time. But when he took his time, there was substance built in. And when that substance came, great fruit. It was great fruit. Moses, 40 years in training, 40 years prior to that, 40 years of leadership training, and then 40 years of humility training. See, a lot of people want the leadership training, they don't want the humility training. God says the leadership training is useless without the humility training. So 40 years of leadership training, 40 years of humility training, so a 40-year Bible college. And then a 40-year Bible college again, Gustav was his master's. And then he was the meekest man on the face of the earth, delivering Israel. 2 million people walking out into the desert with him. Can you imagine what that was like? The scholars say it was between 1.5 million and 2 million people out in that desert. Walking around, wandering. And he's supposed to lead these guys who are grumbling against him all the time. What did you do? Bring us out here to die? Can you imagine standing in front of 1.5 million, 2 million people? What did you do? Bring us out here to die? I think I'd want to crawl in a hole. What did Moses do? He called over to God. He said, God, you hear that? Yeah, God heard that. Don't despise your own growth. Like, wait on God. There is only one type of person who is not going to fall or faint, who's not going to faint or get weary. They that wait upon the Lord. People don't like to wait upon the Lord. They want to get in there. They want to see something. They want to see it happening. I want to be changed. I want it now. That's the God, give me patience now. No, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. You got to realize something. You're on God's timetable. You're not on your own timetable. You're on God's timetable. And in God's time, all things will be made perfect, because God brings to completion, to perfection, that which concerns you. He started it. He's faithful to finish it. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. You got a promise? Wait on God. It'll come. The Bible says that God will do something for you. Wait on God. It'll come. You think you have a call on your life? Wait on God. It'll come. If you try to make it happen, it's a weak call. If you try to make the promise happen, it's not God's promise. God does what God does in God's time. Trouble is, He doesn't tell us the time. Right? In Isaiah 42, He says, I'll tell you the things that are coming, but I'm not going to tell you when they're coming. And I'm not going to tell you how I do it, and I'm not going to tell you why. I'm just going to tell you what's coming. Why do you think God does that? Because we'd muck it up. You know? We'd muck it up. We would sit there, okay, on July 31st of 2009, it's coming. And we would be like focused on July 31st of 2009. And what growth would that be? It would just be holding your breath. That's useless. No, God may share a promise with you. God may give you a call. God may have a witness in your heart. God may give a burden to your heart as part of your calling. But God's the one who brings it. He's just kind enough to let you know it's going to happen. You know what it's like? It's like when you order something from Amazon. And they'd say, we got your order. It's coming. And it'll be between 4 and 14 days. Which I really love when I need it in 6. It'll be between 4 and 14 days. Okay, it's coming. Anyway. You know why that's important? Because in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, God separated the darkness from the light. And this is not just a cosmological phenomenon. God separates the darkness from the light. Right? In Ephesians 5:8, the Word of God says, walk as children of the light. He has to separate in my life the darkness from the light. There's a lot of darkness in a believer's life. Those effects that the world has had. Those things that they cling to. This is why God does that. Because He has to separate darkness from light. like we were born in darkness. We were born in darkness. And we can learn how to become children of the light. If it happened yesterday, we couldn't be children of the light. We would be children of darkness. Anyway, that's just a thought before we get started.